It's a beautiful day and a fine time for healing. Podcast host Randy Fine, a narcissistic abuse expert and the author of the groundbreaking book Close Encounters of the Worst Kind and the captivating memoir Cliff Edge Road, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being are all that matter. So put your feet up, relax, and enjoy today's show. And now, here's Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing on the last day of May. Can you believe it? Oh my gosh, I cannot believe that we're this far into the year, and tomorrow is June 1st. So it's summer for everybody. I live in South Florida. It's always summer here, but it's particularly hot and humid right now and rainy. It's our rainy season. The illuminating skill of medical intuition is designed to provide fast, pertinent, intuitive health assessments that can be used as both a standalone practice and as a powerful support to health and wellness care of every kind. Intended to uncover the hidden sources of energetic resistance that may be blocking optimal well-being, medical intuition is now being increasingly discussed in integrative healthcare. Its efficacy supported by innovative, growing research and studies. Today's special guest, Wendy Coulter, will be discussing her new book, Essentials of Medical Intuition, A Visionary Path to Wellness. Her book is a practical guide to medical intuition that explores what it is, what it is not, and how it can enhance your healing and wellness. Wendy has been a professional medical intuitive for more than 20 years, and she is the founder of The Practical Path, Inc. Good morning, Wendy. Welcome to A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning, Randy. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being my guest. So I want to start by, before we dive into what is and what is not a medical intuitive, I wanted to ask you what your path was to getting to become a medical intuitive.
Oh, okay, yes. That's actually quite a long story, but I'll condense it.
Okay, all right.
I was always an intuitive child and always intuitive through my life, but I never could have, you know, defined it or refined it for you or for anyone. I could always kind of tell if somebody was a little bit off, but I couldn't have told you what was going on with them. In my, I want to say in late 1990s, I began studying energy healing and all kinds of energy work, and I became an energy healer. And I noticed that in my energy healing work, I could actually see right into the body, look at the anatomy and the physiology. I could look at the origins of the issue, meaning the life history. And there was just a lot of information that was sort of popping into my mind's eye, you would say. But I didn't really do much with it. I just worked with my energy work. But in my energy healing practice, Randy, I noticed that sometimes people would come back again and again with the same issues. So we would do great energy work, and they'd have some good release. And the next time they came to see me, those issues would still be there. And I was very curious about why that was. So I began offering what I called a medical intuitive assessment. Actually, I didn't know the word at the time. I didn't know what a medical intuitive was. But I started offering these assessments where instead of doing energy healing, I would just look into the body and look into the biofield, which is the aura and chakra systems, and also look into the life history and just tell them, like report whatever I saw that could be of value to them in regards to whatever was stuck in their energy or their physical anatomy. And that information was so helpful and valuable to the client that I ended up, you know, kind of leaving my energy practice to really concentrate on medical intuition, which is what that is defined as. And that's how I got into it. And I noticed I had many, lots and lots of great client stories. And I began to really realize the value of this for health and wellness, because just hearing that information sometimes for the clients was enough for them to turn around their their health issue, to release their health issue. And it became a very potent skill. And so what I realized at the time, this was, 20-some years ago, that it would be a good idea if doctors and wellness professionals and licensed medical professionals actually could use this. And I was working with doctors as well. They would hear about me and they'd call me on the sly, under the radar to look at their patients. And so over the years, it became pretty obvious that there needed to be a way to teach this. And so I developed my program, which is for wellness professionals of all kinds. And it teaches people how to use this very powerful skill with their clients and their patients.
So that's really interesting. And we were talking before we went on air, and you were saying that you were intuitive, but that doesn't necessarily, you were sensitive, but that doesn't necessarily, it is not necessary to become a medical intuitive. So I wanted to talk about what a medical intuitive is, or medical intuition is, and what it is not. Where would you like to start?
Very good. Thank you. I like talking about what it is not first, because it's not a very well understood or well known skill. And a lot of people might call themselves a medical intuitive and may or may not be practicing the full, the full skill set. And this is how I define it, and actually how it is being defined nationally by an organization we'll talk about later if you'd like, a National Organization for Medical Intuition. Medical intuition is not the practice of healing or diagnosis, prognosis, or prescription. So the people who come through my program, many of them are licensed to do all of those things, but the practice of medical intuition itself is not that. Medical intuition is a foundational skill set that can support any healing modality, any healing skill, and in any format, from complementary alternative all the way to allopathic. And that's what makes it a foundational skill. So how I described it earlier of seeing into the physical body, there's a basic principle that I talk about in my book, and that is that the body holds information that pertains not only to physical imbalances, but also to emotional, mental, and spiritual imbalances. And a medical intuitive should be able to look at all of that and give that information to the client or the patient if they're a licensed practitioner. And we really are ideally suited to be part of a healthcare team because, there's a zillion anecdotal stories out there about the efficacy of this skill. And there's also research that I spearheaded in regards to this skill. So we'll talk about that a little later if you like. But that's the essence of it.
Is this something that we can use to see into our own body?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's actually a really important use of it. I teach a visual version of this, of intuition. And I have a workshop that's open for everyone called Medical Intuition for Healing Workshop. And that's where I teach people how to have that conversation with their own physical body so that they can, get the sense of looking inside and querying the body. It's very much a conversation between the mind and the body.
Okay. Do we need to know anatomy in order to be able to be a medical intuitive?
We do not. Isn't that wonderful?
That's really wonderful, because that would be awful to have to learn that.
What's really great about it is that when you look into the body, what you're looking at are, whatever the body wants to show you. I knew nothing about anatomy other than, we have a skeletal system and, a few other systems, when I first began. But the body really shows me what I need to see. So, no, you do not need to have a background in anatomy, and I'll point out that two of the most famous medical intuitives in the United States, Edgar Cayce and Carolyn Mace, both did not come from a medical background, yet they were able to see very specifically into the anatomy and physiology of the body, as can I. And that is what I teach. So I teach people, like health coaches may not have an anatomy background. Mental health care may not have an anatomy background. But you will get two components of anatomy and physiology in order to look at them, not to, you know, dive too deeply into it. So I do teach a component in the main program so that people have a reference point for things. But it's pretty basic. It's the kind of thing you could look into an anatomy book and see.
Oh, okay. And is knowing the issue a significant part of healing the issue?
Not from the traditional way of knowing, right? When you go to your GI or your specialist or even your primary care, their body of knowledge is vast, but they don't know everything about everything, right? They know about their specialty. They know about, you know, the basics and, well, more than the basics. But, and that's not to say anything negative about conventional medicine. I'm all for it. But the thing is that medical intuitives see things differently. We see connections that conventional medicine training does not offer. That's the main key here. It's not about a body of knowledge. It's about being able to see whatever's there. And I see things that I have no idea what they are, but the body will tell me what it is. And that's what's so fascinating. You know, years ago, Randy, I was seeing what is now called SIBO, small intestinal bowel overgrowth, which is a bacterial overgrowth, excuse me. That is like a proliferation of bacteria in the small intestine. Well, there was not really a public name for it 20 years ago, but I was seeing it. So I could have, you know, I could explain that to my client, and my client can take that to their doctor. And that's how it's traditionally worked. The fact that more and more licensed healthcare professionals are interested in this work and bringing it into their work is really exciting.
It really is. You know, I think I might be using this in my work because people say to me, "How do you know this, Randy? You know, how do you cut to the core of the issue when you don't know anything about me?"
Yes.
And so I think, you know, I think I'm using it a lot.
I'm sure you are.
And it just, you know, and for me, it's just a thought. You know, it just comes through my head as a thought. Not as something weird and woo-woo. It's just I start talking.
Yes.
You know.
Well, what you're using there is something called claircognizance. That's clear knowing. There's many types of intuitions. And claircognizance is one. And that's very common, particularly with healers, that you just get or people in the healing, you know, world, you get a knowingness. I know that I know. I don't know how I know it. I just know it. That's called claircognizance. There's actually a good deal of research on that. And there's others. Many nurses and people, actually most people, when they describe themselves as empathic, what they're talking about is clairsentience, clear feeling, right? And you feel the emotions of others. You feel even the physical pain of others. And in society, we call that compassion. You know, that's quite highly regarded.
Right.
And yet, it is an intuitive capacity. And mine mine is the visual, which is clairvoyance, clear seeing, which is a very stigmatized word, you know. Clairvoyance really brings to mind, you know, crystal balls and things like that. And that's not the practice, but it is seeing in your mind's eye. So we also have a cultural understanding of that. We understand what it is to visualize, to do guided imagery, to see in the mind's eye. And all of these things can be developed, which is what people don't understand. They think you either have it or you don't. But that's not the case.
That's so interesting. It's really exciting, though. It's really exciting to know that we all can do this, that we don't need,
well, we can.
You know,
yes.
We can learn it.
Well, you know, here's how I describe it, Randy, is that if you wanted to play the violin or you wanted to learn Italian, you wouldn't think to yourself, oh, I'll never be able to do that. I don't have, you know, I wasn't born with that skill. Or if you wanted to learn how to draw, you know, or dance even, you would take a class, wouldn't you? You'd think, well, I'm going to go take a class and see how I do. That is the nature of intuition that nobody has talked about forever, right? You know, you don't think about it that way, but it really is a skill that you can put yourself in an educational environment and learn.
And I think intuition is probably the key to living a peaceful and successful life, because if you can assess your surroundings and understand what's good for you and what's not good for you and where your boundaries are based on your intuition, I think we could avoid a lot of pitfalls.
Oh, I would agree with you 100%. One of the things that my students continually say is how valuable this skill is for them in their own lives, how it's changed their lives because they've become very trusting and learned to trust their intuition, learned to listen to their intuition, learned to act on it. And it really does enhance your life in ways that you don't even realize at first, but it is my constant companion, my intuition. I depend on it.
I think it should be a crucial teaching tool for young children. I really do. People ask me, you know, what do I do with my children? How do I avoid them falling into the same trap or being sucked in by this narcissistic parent or whatever? And I always tell them, teach them, find every way that you can to teach them to trust their gut, trust their intuition. Because if they can do that, they can't be told a truth that doesn't feel right.
Yeah, it is very much, if we're going to talk on the spiritual side, it is very much aligning with your spiritual nature and your spiritual efficacy, you could say, or I don't like to use the word power because that just has many connotations, but really the essence of your spiritual nature. And that kind of connection is, you know, I think it would be a very different world if people really were able to do that and taught to do that. I agree with you 100% about teaching children. In fact, that's something I've always wanted to do, is create a program for kids.
Oh, I think that would be amazing. So how do you keep your own bias out of this?
That's such a big, important topic. And I'll be honest with you, Randy, it is the learning curve in the program for so many health professionals, because a bias is also your training, right? It's the lens from which you look at you know, the world or at, you know, your client or your patient. You have to learn, and this is one of the biggest learning curves in the program, is how to drop that bias. The really wonderful skill that medical intuitives are known for is not having a bias, right? So we look at the body, we look at the energy, we look at the life history, and if we look at it through any kind of filter, we will miss things. We will literally miss things, and we'll be putting our own spin on it that has to do with our own lives and our own trainings. So it's a very, I call it neutral, it's a very neutral place to do this work. And if you bring a bias into it, as far as I'm concerned, you know, you're going to miss things. In the book, I call it this equals that thinking, right? If it's this, it must be that. Well, that's conventional medicine in a nutshell, right? And it's also even, you know, complementary and alternative practices, because everyone is trained to be a specialist, right, in their body of knowledge. So it sounds odd to talk about it this way, but really medical intuition works best when you set aside your body of knowledge and you just let the information come in terms of what it is you're looking at and what it is you want to discern.
Do we need to be physically with the person? Or, you know, can we do this distant or through telephone or through video or whatever?
Yes. One of the wonderful things about this work is that it's non-local, meaning, if anyone's heard that term before, non-locality, what it really means is at a distance, right? You don't have to be in the same spot. You don't have to be even talking to the person. It's a remote skill. I do all my work by phone or Skype or Zoom, and the programs are all taught live online on Zoom, and we do lots and lots of in-class practice. So this is a purely, in many ways, remote skill. You can use it in person as well.
That's so cool. You did a lot of research for this book. And can you share with us what kind of research you did and what you found?
Absolutely. You know, when I wrote the book, my intention was to dig up as much as I could find on the research on medical intuition and intuition in healthcare. And interestingly, I found, oh gosh, you know, 10,000 or more, tens of thousands of research studies on intuition, doctor and nurse intuition. There's just so much out there. But it's also not really well understood. And most of the research points to experienced doctors or experienced nurses, and that experience kind of brings up all of this, quote, intuitive, unquote, material, meaning, you know, stuff that's stored in your memory bank. That's not intuition. So there's a big misunderstanding about it. Intuition, like you were saying before, is how do you know all this, Randy? You don't even know me, right? That is what we're talking about. That's the non-local aspect of it. So when I looked for the research on medical intuition specifically, I found a handful of studies. You could count them on two hands, you know, just a few studies out there. Most of them were inconclusive. Many of them were, and many anecdotal stories as well. But when it came to the research, I realized that there have been people who for decades have been trying to nail this down. And the last research study that was published was over 20 years ago. So I knew that my graduates were doing great work. You know, they fill out case reports, and we have all this data. And I thought, you know, it's time for something new here, obviously, because we want to prove that this can work. So what I did was I consulted with some of my colleagues down at the University of California, San Diego, and created a survey using 5 of my graduates and about 67, not about, we had 67 participants from the community. Some of them were from UCSD Medical Center. And we created as best we could do, we created a study, an exploratory study, it's called, kind of a pilot study, on how this works. So how it went was the medical intuitives graduates of the program were blinded, meaning we don't do a health intake. We never do anyway. So we didn't have access to their medical records or any of that. And we also keep our eyes closed, so we're not looking at the person either. That's one of the reasons it's a remote skill. We don't need that kind of input. And they did these sessions with these wonderful people who then filled out a survey afterwards anonymously and told us what they thought. And we asked them a bunch of questions. And here's what we came out with. They rated the medical intuitives as 94% accurate in evaluation and location of their primary health issue. And again, no input was given. They also rated them 98% in accuracy in life history, meaning how something could have manifested, what happened in their childhood, in their teenage years, in their adult years. So they rated them 98% accurate in that description of life history that could have led to this health issue. They also rated them as 94% consistent with their known medical diagnosis, which was really quite a phenomenal piece of data. About half of the participants knew they had a known diagnosis from their doctors, and the medical intuitive with no information or background was 94% consistent with that, or they rated them as that. And that got the attention of the medical community that was interested in this, because that is a point of effectiveness that no one had studied prior. That study, and there's a lot more in there, was published in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine, which is a peer-reviewed medical journal. And again, the first published data of any kind in over 20 years. So we're very proud of that. And what we're doing now is building on it with a new study coming up hopefully this year that we're working with a wonderful research organization. And we just want to continue the work to see the effectiveness of this, because in the book, I was able to interview a lot of doctors and medical professionals about this, and every one of them said, you know, if this was really understood by the medical world, it would change the paradigm. It would shift the whole concept. And that's what we get excited about.
I'm excited about that, too, and I hope that that would, you know, that will be in the future. I really do.
Yeah.
Because there's... you know, allopathic medicine has become, it's very cold and distant, and often we walk away from these doctors feeling like we haven't been heard, they don't know what's going on, they just want to run a lot of tests, and they say, try this and try that, they want to give us medication to see if it works. It's just always kind of like a guessing game, really. And it's a very insecure feeling to go to a doctor and come out with a guessing game.
Yeah. It is pretty much, you know, most medical intuitives, that's the clientele. People that have been through the mill, they've gone to doctor after doctor, they haven't gotten any results or, you know, very often the conventional medicine world will just, you know, give up on somebody because they don't have a framework for it. And there are some areas that are very, very potent in that. And I was talking about gut health before with SIBO. You know, that's one area. But what about, you know, early on, what about Lyme disease? It's much more understood now. But, you know, 20, 30 years ago, it wasn't. What about chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia or some of these? Now they're a little bit more understood, but, you know, not completely. And what about long COVID with people who have these myriad issues? Medical intuitives see the connections that conventional medicine doesn't even address, in many areas. So that's why, you know, when I speak at healthcare conferences, doctors and come up to me and licensed practitioners come up to me and they say, you know, I really need to know more about this because I can see where I'm not making these connections. I really want to help my patients. Everybody wants to help their patients, but the tools may not be as effective in some areas. And that's where medical intuition really shines, honestly. You know, we can see, ideally, we can see where the blockages are, where the problems are, where the issues are, and what the body is asking for. That's one of the things that people don't understand. Medical intuitives can take a look and see what the body wants because it's a conversation between the intuitive and the body part or the body issue or the you know, all of the systems that are affected by it. That's really our work. And that's why, you know, I wrote the book. And I really want to see medical intuitives being welcomed and used as part of the healthcare team. You know, interestingly, Randy, we already are. We did another survey, the national organization I mentioned, on how many medical intuitives are actually assisting with medical intuition. Licensed healthcare providers are getting referrals, and we found that 82% of medical intuitives, professional medical intuitives, are actually assisting licensed healthcare providers with medical intuition under the radar, right? And 86% are receiving referrals. So it's already being used. It's like, let's just bring this into the light, please.
Well, I know you're working hard at it. And this book really, this is an excellent book. It's a hardback book, and it's just really very, very, very comprehensive on this topic. So if the body's telling you what it needs, so it may not always need medical intervention. It may need psychological intervention. It may need energetic So what are some of the things the body will ask for?
Oh gosh, it is as individual as human beings are. You know, I couldn't give you a across the board answer on that because there really isn't one. It's whatever is needed at the moment, and you know, for the balance. But very often, you know, we're talking offline about this. I'll bring it up now. One of the things that science has figured out, which medical intuitives has seen for centuries, is how our emotions affect our bodies. And there's even a field of medicine called psychoneuroimmunology, where that is the study of how your emotions affect your immune system and your nervous system and all these things. Well, medical intuitives have been seeing this for, you know, forever. So yes, emotional imbalances can cause numbers of things, and the body will have a lot of information on how it can be helped.
So it could be diet.
It could be anything. Yeah, diet.
Okay.
It could be, And the other thing about bias I just want to point out here, and I think this is important, is that it's not about conventional medicine versus alternative medicine. It is not that at all. You know, if the body is wanting the surgery or wanting the medication or whatever, that's really important information, right? And that information needs to be taken to the care provider. And people have the, even though conventional medicine is very problematic, you know, for many people, we need the life-saving drugs. We need the life-saving surgeries. We need our doctors and surgeons and specialists. This is so important. And there's been such a split over the years about this, and I disagree with that entirely. That's why I work with doctors, you know. That's why I work with licensed professionals, because we need to integrate this. That's the key word, integration, not one or the other. So what's fun about all of this is when medical doctors work with medical intuitives and we see for their patient, you know, meditation would be a really useful thing to calm that vagus nerve down, right? Or, right. You know, dietary issues are actually causing some of the gut-brain problems here that are, you know, affecting their whatever it is, right? So we see these connections that medical science doesn't have a you know, framework for. We do. And that's why we really want to be part of that. You know, we want to integrate. So I answered that a very long way. I apologize, Randy.
Well, no, you know, because you said psychoneuroimmunology, and I'm on page 102. I was getting ready to ask you. That is where I am, just as you began to bring it up. And also epigenetics. So we were talking about is epigenetics. Epigenetics, okay. So we were talking about how what happens in the womb can be affecting us now in our life. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the wonderful things about medical intuition is we can look, you know, backwards a long way. And we can look into the womb. We can see what happened in the birth situation, you know, what happened there, which is actually quite traumatic for people. Coming down that canal. But we can also see what's going on in the womb. And there's a lot of studies done on how the babies at a certain point are very cognizant, you know, pre-birth, about what's going on in the family, what's going on around them, the chemicals that the mother is creating, the emotions of the mother. We can also look into the ancestral history, and that is epigenetics, meaning how did the ancestral trauma affect, you know, you in your life? And that there's plenty of research on that out there. And if you want to go to the spiritual side, we can certainly look into past lives, and that is, you know, the energetics of it, and how that can affect us in our current lifetime. So there's just so many places we can look, and so much information we can gather.
Yes, and you say scientists are studying the transfer of PTSD symptoms and other health problems that are passed down from first-generation trauma survivors, including combat veterans, refugee families, Holocaust survivors. And, you know, I've had a feeling that, because my father was in World War II, and he was definitely suffered from PTSD his whole life. He didn't realize it until he was probably in his 80s, but it affected him. And I really felt like that had a huge impact on me.
Oh, without question. I mean, you work in mental health care. You see it every day, I'm sure. The family dynamic, the energy that comes down, it's just powerful. And we don't really often realize how much it affects us, our physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And again, you know, just coming back to medical intuition, that is really our job, to see how everything has affected our client and what can be done to balance the imbalances. That's really critical. And so much can be done. Our bodies have so much information, our energy fields. And that's what we want to get to. That's really what I call, you know, people talk about whole person health these days. That's a good catchphrase. Whole person health. But when I read the descriptions, I'm like, well, that's not quite whole enough, is it? If you really want to get to whole person health, yes, we're talking about emotional health, mental health. We're talking about, you know, community health, environmental health. But what about energetic health? That's so important. Spiritual health. What is the body trying to tell you? What does your body want you to know? What does your energy want you to know? What does your spirit want you to know, right? So these are the kinds of things that really help and why medical intuition is so effective on so many levels.
It truly is. And you can only do this if the body gives you permission for it?
Well, that's the ethical part of it, yes. What we want to do as ethical practitioners is have not only energetic permission, you know, from the body, but also and the energy, but also we must have legal permission to do this. So, you know, a big part of the training that I teach is the ethical component of the spiritual based practice, which, you know, is not well taught out there and needs to be taught more effectively, in my opinion. So, as a medical intuitive, because we have access to so much, we absolutely need to know how to work with this material. That is critical. And we need to work with it ethically.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I think that pretty much goes without saying. But, you know, I mean, I would imagine that the body can if the body doesn't want to talk to you, the body can resist. So I guess then that would be the person.
Okay, so let me answer that question, because that's actually a different spin. And it's a really, really great question, Randy. What if, you know, somebody's body is resistant or their energy is resistant? Well, how I talk about this is when we're doing a session, and a session is, you know, anywhere up to, for many people, they do 90 minutes. Pardon me. My sessions are an hour or half an hour. What I'm going to look at is what the body wants to show me and the energy wants to show me in that moment. So, if you know, it wouldn't be everything there is to see, because that would take years to talk about. But whatever is present for the body, that's what I will see. That's what, you know, my client will want to talk about as well. So I'm not quite sure how to answer your question other than permission has to do with two things. One is the permission of the client to say, yes, I want a session. That's the first kind of permission. The permission of the medical intuitive looking at the body and seeing what there is to see, that's another kind of permission. And I've sort of lost my train of thought here. It was a really good question. The answer to that is that I will see, and my student graduates will see, whatever the body wants to show us in that moment. So in many ways, it's kind of a snapshot of the energy, and I mean the energy field as well, the auric field, the chakra system, the life history. Whatever is relevant is what is shown. I guess that's the best way to answer it.
Yeah, I understand. I've had actually hypnotists, energy healers have all told me at some point, I can't go any further.
Oh gosh, no!
I'm hitting resistance, and I'm being told that I need to stop right here.
Well, that may be the case, but I can tell you that a qualified medical intuitive, and certainly my graduates, are able to see whatever is blocking you. That's the key. We want to see what's blocking us, right? We want to know.
Right.
And it's rare in my world that we get that kind of message, that no, we're not going there. That's very rare. So I don't know what to tell you about that other than,
okay.
You know, give it a try.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. Mm-hmm.
Let me answer your question specifically. The resistance of the client is not a feature, a factor in this work.
Okay.
That's not a factor necessarily. Sometimes it can be, but not from the client's energy. Maybe from their, you know, their higher self or their spiritual, you know, path perhaps. And those are the rare times that has come up. But I've had people say to me something very similar. You know, I've seen intuitives, I've seen this and that, and they couldn't get past this barrier, whatever it is. And I was able to see it without much because of the way, perhaps the way I practice, the neutrality level, the things like that. I don't know. And I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, tooting my own horn here. It's because sometimes that can happen. But I would say that the practice is designed to be able to see whatever is relevant for the client in that moment.
In that moment. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And in the work that I do, what I know is a lot of people are afraid to truly know what's wrong, to truly know
yeah.
what happened, because they're afraid they're going to be overwhelmed. And what I yeah. find in my work is that the subconscious mind is only going to allow you to see what you can handle at the time. And then once you deal with that, other things, other layers will become uncovered. So do you see
yes.
the same kind of thing?
Yes. Very often, you know, I call it kind of planting a seed, meaning if I see something in someone's energy and they don't have a recollection, you know, or they don't agree with it, you know, it's like it doesn't make sense to them. If I had a nickel for every client that called me back, you know, months later saying, you know, I didn't understand it at the time, but boy, did it make sense, you know, later. That's very common for medical intuition, extremely common, because we're seeing things that may not be up to conscious awareness. And that's what I see the job as, you know, that's the intuitive's job, is to bring things that the body and energy want the client to know up to conscious awareness. And I write about that in the book. Dr. Dean Ornish has one of the best quotes. It's a motto for me. And that is that awareness is the first step in healing. And I think that is so potent and so powerful. And that's what really we want to do. We want to bring to awareness these things that have been, you know, hidden or confusing. You know, certainly health issues can be very confusing. Bring it to awareness so that the client has somewhere to go with it, right? Take this to your doctor. Take this to your therapist. Take this to your, you know, however you want to use it, and here's some options and suggestions for using it. And then they have a path forward. That's the key. You know, we need a path to healing, don't we?
It would be wonderful to be able to know exactly what our path to healing is rather than, you know, floundering around trying to figure it out. You brought up where doctors give up on, you know, if they don't know what to do with you, they give up, or they diagnose you as having some psychosomatic issue. And
yeah, that's a big word.
I can't tell you how many times it's happened to me. I had a chronic cough for years, and I went to a doctor who specialized in this. And he did all his routine tests, and he asked me questions. And I said to him, listen, I've had doctors give up on me, so I need somebody who's going to stick with it. He's like, oh, I will stick with it. Well, after three times, if you would have seen my face, after three times, he comes into the room and he says to me, I figured out what your cough is. He goes, you have a psycho something cough, and he psychodynamic cough, whatever it was, and he hands me literature on it.
Oh my
and I'm
goodness.
Reading this thing, and I'm reading this thing, and I looked at him and I said, are you kidding me?
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Not coming, you know. It turned out I saw a specialist in New York, and we figured out what was actually wrong, but there was something very wrong.
Yes.
You know, but
yes.
That's what happens with doctors when they don't know anymore. They don't want to admit, hey, I'm not equipped to figure this out.
Yeah, you know, there's a really great book out there called How Doctors Think. that talks about this, actually written by a doctor. and there's actually more and more books out there about that. The medical world is starting to understand, you know, that they don't get it right all the time and what happens when they don't. But it can be very, very emotionally disturbing and difficult, I mean, in every way for patients. And that's, again, why medical intuition is so valuable and why we want to be by the doctor's side so we can look at this and actually... There is an interview with a wonderful integrative medicine doctor in New York who actually uses and works with a medical intuitive in her practice. And she brings the medical intuitive into the exam room with the patient. Now, the patient has to be willing to do that. But those that have, I actually was able to interview some of her patients, and they just were over the moon about this combination. They loved it because the intuitive sees things that can inform the doctor's diagnosis and prescription. And that's exactly how we should be used. Imagine if your doctor who you worked with that who couldn't, you know, nail it down had a medical intuitive with them. You know, we could see where the problem was. Is it structural? Is it energetic? Is it emotional? We could see that, right? So congrats on getting that, you know, taken care of, and also congratulations on not giving up.
Well, I couldn't give up. My life was miserable,
yeah.
You know. So
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So fascinating work.
It is. Can you give us sort of, you know, it's hard for us to imagine that we can actually do this. So can you give us a little bit, a taste of what we would learn working with you?
Yes, absolutely.
How that would happen? Yeah.
So there's two different programs. The first program is for wellness professionals, and there's certain qualifying requirements. So that's all on the website. And by the way, the website is thepracticalpath.com, three words, thepracticalpath.com. And there's a lot of info on that. And then I teach this workshop I mentioned earlier that's open to everybody for self-healing, so using intuition, your medical intuition for self-healing. So what you would learn in the program, I'll start there, is a very specific method that I've developed of how to use and develop your intuitive visual sense, mind's eye intuition, you could say, to look at the physical body and the biofield. So we look at the chakras, we look at the auric field, we look at the physical body, the anatomy and physiology, and the life history. And that's, in a nutshell, what you learn, along with ethics and practice guidelines and a lot of practice and a lot of case reports. And so that's what the main program is about. And that's the learning curve in there is not the steps of the practice. The learning curve, as we talked about earlier, is about letting go of that bias, you know, letting go of that left brain, you know, need to analyze and understand everything, because intuition works on a different frequency, you could say. In the workshop, I teach anyone who wants to learn how to open a conversation with their own body. That's that mind-body practice everybody talks about. Well, this is very specific to your body, your energy, what it wants you to know, what your body wants you to know, and how to work with it. So I do a lot of exercises, and it's very experiential. And people learn how to talk and listen and see into their own bodies, and it's people love this. I love teaching the workshop because people gain so much insight into their physical, emotional health. You know, just so much it's very rich and very useful. So that workshop is actually coming up. For those of you who are listening in real time, I have that workshop in July, and later in the year there will be a self-study program for the Medical Intuition for Healing workshop.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Are we seeing things that we're not aware of that you train us to see? So in other words, the auric field, and are we all actually seeing it, but we're just not aware that we are?
Well, you know, it's about bringing our intuition to our conscious awareness, right? We have to know what it is we're looking at. So the way I train people is, okay, we're going to look at a chakra now. So here's what you're going to look for. You know, here's what you're going to ask to see. And that conversation is really the practice. And when I say conversation, it's between the practitioner, the medical intuitive practitioner, and the client's energy. And that is a learned skill, you know, in terms of how I teach it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this is all so exciting. Oh, my gosh.
You know, I'll tell you, Randy, I started my programs because I didn't know where to study this. I knew I was doing something like this. In fact, I didn't even know the word until I read Carolyn Mace's book, and I'm like, oh, that's what this is. I looked around to see where I could learn it, and there wasn't really anywhere I could learn it, so I began to practice it on my own and develop a program for it.
So there, yes, and you know, I'm very familiar with Edgar Cayce's work. I mean, I guess most people are that are into this kind of thing, alternative approaches. And I think I have Carolyn Mace's book on my bookshelf. And let me see, what is this?
Yeah, Anatomy of the Spirit is her seminal book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have it.
Yeah, it's such a great book, and she talks about her experiences and how she became a medical intuitive and the work she did with Dr. C. Norm Shealy and some of his early testing as well on her. And Edgar Cayce's work is fantastic. There's so much to read there, and he was so ahead of his time. That gentleman in the 1920s and 30s was seeing gut health as the basis of all physical or most physical issues. Gut health, right? We talk about that now like everybody knows, but they just sure didn't know that in the mid-1900s.
Yeah. Well, we're coming a long way. It's just taking a while. I actually had Dr. Shealy on my show.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Yeah, he's really great. He's a
pioneer.
Cool guy.
He pioneered the research on this work. And I talk about him a lot in the book because his work is so important. His work with Carolyn Mace and these are amazing people. I feel like I stand on the shoulders of giants here.
Oh, my gosh. He's such a happy, you know, positive person. I really enjoyed talking to him. So, Wendy, what would you like to leave us with as the show is coming to a close?
Well, you know, what I'd like to leave people with is we have access to our intuition. One great way to cultivate it is with meditation practice, that, you know, be still and know or listen or hear, you know, the voice of your guidance. There's a lot of, if you go to the website, there are guided meditations that are available to everyone. I call them energy essentials, meaning learning how to work with your own energy, grounding and shielding and connecting with guidance. Very important work, really enhances our lives. And I offer that to the public because I think it's so important for us to start to activate and access within our own energy. So there you go. That's what I would say.
So there's so many different ways to meditate. And through the years, I've learned to do it through breath. I've learned to do it through mantra. I've learned to do it through being still. There's so many different, and I've also, you know, I've done guided imagery ones. So when you're talking about meditation, what kind of meditation are you actually talking about?
Frankly, any kind. You named a bunch of them there. Even a walking meditation, you know, just sitting out in nature and communing with nature is great. Anything that quiets the chatter in our minds, that allows us to connect with our source, you know, our higher self, you could say, from the spiritual side, or if you want to be scientific, the quantum field. Anything that allows us to just pay attention to our intuition is going to be of value. And I added in the book, you know, a lot of little exercises and a whole chapter of exercises for people to start to begin practicing that and seeing how it feels for you, seeing what you get. We all have this. It is not a gift for some and nobody else has access to their intuition. It's hardwired. We all have it. So let's cultivate it.
Right. And meditation is something, you know, it does take practice. It does take the first time that you do it, you might be distracted, but eventually we all learn how to do that. Okay. So your website is thepracticalpath.com and your book is Essentials of Medical Intuition, A Visionary Path to Wellness. So we're talking with Wendy Coulter today. Wendy, we know how to get to your website, and is your book available there and elsewhere?
The book is available at bookstores, so Amazon.com, you can buy the book there, Barnes & Noble, and pretty much every bookstore. It's distributed by Penguin Random House, so they have a pretty worldwide reach.
Yes.
And it's on Watkins Publishing, and you should be able to get it certainly on Amazon and definitely in bookstores.
Yeah, it's a beautiful book, and congratulations on getting published by Penguin, because I know how hard that is. So they must have really liked it.
Yes, the publisher is Watkins, and they're out of England, and they were very excited about this, and I was very pleased to work with them. So I hope people enjoy the book.
Yes, well, I'm sure that they will, and now that they've heard about it, or should I say to all of you, now that you've heard about it, you might want to dive in and check this out and see what you can do. So, Wendy, it's been such a pleasure. I've learned so much from you. I'm very excited about the direction that our health is going, and I really appreciate the work that you're doing.
Randy, I appreciate you having me on, and thank you so much for your enthusiasm and understanding of this work.
Oh, it's just great. Okay, well, have a great day. Take
care. You
too.
You too.
Thanks. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So we are out of time today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randyfine.com. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's show. Visit randyfine.com, RANDIFINE.com, and be sure to sign up to receive updates on the latest blog posts, events, and upcoming shows. Thank you for listening.